our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together at altar 421. Manza. O God, our shield with AB9, a look on thy servant holy thine, and keep him, Lord, thou great defender, one day past in thy house of praise is better than a thousand days spend in the realm of earthly splendor. And what follows? Psalter 421, the fifth stanza. Together, can be found in 1 Corinthians 15, the verses 50 through 58. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with the 50th verse. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, and then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We hope to remember in prayer Amira, the 1.5-year-old daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Koyman, who was in the hospital with RSV and may return home. And Lucas, the infant son of Mr. and Mrs. Jonathan Vermanen, who was in the hospital with RSV and hopes to return home today. Nicholas Vandenberg, who was admitted to the hospital on Friday and had surgery this morning to remove his appendix. Mr. and Mrs. Conrad and Gertrude Vanessa, who were blessed with the birth of a baby boy. And Mrs. Ellie Gunderson, who hopes to commemorate her 89th birthday this week. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Eternal, unchangeable, almighty, all-knowing, everywhere present, a most holy, but also most merciful Lord God, Creator of the heavens and of the earth, then it has pleased thee in thy goodness to grant unto us and our children the first Lord's Day of this newly begun year. Then for 6 days, in the midst of the trials and difficulties, then thou hast graciously carried us upon thy wings of mercy. We have been the recipients of many of thy gifts. And if thou wert to ask us in this morning, with all thy gifts and with all thy blessings, were we even have to spare, and that in a difference with so many upon the face of the earth, that if we have lacked anything, then we would have to say nothing, Lord. Then thou wast given so much more than we deserve, then also the first 6 days of this newly begun year, then thou wast not dealt according to our sins and according to our ingratitude, but thou wast truly blessed us temporally, and we may still have thy holy word. And then it is so needful, when we may come up to thy courts by renewal, that hearts may be united by thy Spirit to thank and praise thy great and thy worthy name with a profound confession of our sins, and also the beggar's prayer for the pardoning of our sins. Then it has pleased thee to cover the earth with the white snow. That is what we and our children need, that our black and vile hearts as thou hast declared in thy holy word, when they may be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we shall be white as snow. Lord, thou knowest how that each and every one has come up to thy house in this morning hour. May there have come up sires and beggars, with that longing and that desire to experience what the King of Judah has experienced. Lord, may it take place on the first Sabbath of this newly begun year, and those that are in prison, that it may be experienced what the psalmist has declared, the Lord looseth the prisoners, that there may be those that are earnestly longing for a kindly word from thee, even if it is a word of uncovering, a word of correction, as long as they may hear thy voice. May thou grant that there may be souls that earnestly need and are longing for an exchange of garments to receive that assurance, and that also to receive daily a portion, Lord. To that end, bless thy word in this morning, that sinners may be converted. When there is a building upon sandy foundations, wilt thou uncover it, and wilt thou edify and instruct thy people. Wilt thou help and remember the consistory to that end, and who is sufficient unto these things. And wherein this morning hour the installation of office bearers will take place by renewal, but also for the first time, may they be given to feel the weight of their office and also the solemnity of their oath, and who is sufficient unto these things. But may they be administered out of thy fullness continually. Wilt thou grant help from the sanctuary and strengthen out of Zion. By never dying souls continually upon their hearts, replenish them with thy goodness and with thy grace. Wilt thou grant what is necessary each time by renewal, grant that special place at thy footstool, because, Lord, who is sufficient unto these things? Wilt thou bind us together around the old truth and the old ways, and that the manifold labors, that they may be blessed. Lord, remember him in a special way for the first time. As so many things shall be new, there shall be many mountains, but also when by renewal, then there are those impossibilities can even seem oftentimes that they even become greater, more impossible, but thou wast helped hitherto. Then we commend unto thee our brother deacon, who was given what thy help and the talents entrusted unto him to serve in the midst of the congregation for 11 years. And then also in this morning hour, then his thought shall multiply. Wilt thou continue to help and remember as a widower, where now many more evenings he shall be alone, and may those evenings be filled with thy presence. Then we also commend our brother elder unto thee, who may have served 30 years in the midst first in another congregation, and also in our midst since its institution, than thou hast helped hitherto. Lord, we commend unto thee the wives and the families of the office bearers, where many an evening they are alone without a husband and without a father, wilt thou continue to help. Then we commend unto thee all the sick and afflicted, a little daughter that was in the hospital who may return home, a little son who was admitted, who was still in the hospital, hopes to return home in this day, then we may acknowledge thee that thou was spared both of those children. Wilt thou continue to spread thy gracious wings over them, give thankful and broken hearts unto the fathers and mothers for thy keeping and for thy sparing hand. We commend unto thee all our little children who are ill. Wilt thou continue to spare and to watch over them. A young son, a young man, has been admitted to the hospital, has underwent surgery today, and when everything may prosper, then he hopes to return to his dwelling with his parents and family later in this day. Lord, we commend him unto thee. Wilt thou grant further healing and further strengthening? And then thou wert speaking unto him in a special way, my son, give me thy heart. And, Lord, thou knowest that on account of our deep fallen Adam, we are not able and we are not willing. But may thou use this affliction by the work of thy Spirit to take possession, and then he shall willingly give his heart unto thee and give unto ask, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We commend unto thee all the sick and afflicted with grave concerns, in a special way under the physician's care, awaiting for further testing. We commend each and every one unto thee. May it please thee to grant unto the physicians wisdom and understanding, and that the solemn callings may be sanctified. We remember all sick relatives among young and old, different places, different circumstances. Wilt thou remember them? We commend unto thee all the mourning ones and all the elderly ones in our midst. Then it is pleased thee on the second day of this newly begun year, that by renewal, that thou wast blessed the father and mother in their married life with the birth of a little son. Then thou wast spared life, and then thou wast given life. Wilt thou grant a humble and a broken heart? May he be a little son of many prayers, and may it please thee that he may experience that second wonder, that second birth, to be born again. We commend unto thee the grandparents, the further family. We remember all the mothers with the unborn. Wilt thou graciously watch over them all, and in due time that they may be gladdened by thy deeds. Lord, we now humbly ask thee for thy gracious help in this morning hour. May thy word go forth with power divine, for those that cannot come up to thy house, when they may listen along, do grant a blessing in their dwellings, and pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 367, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Gracious Lord, remember David, how he made thy house his care, how he vowed to seek no pleasure, until thy house he should prepare. And what follows, the extra collection today is for the school, Psalter 367, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in 1 Corinthians 15, and there at verse 58, where God's word and our text reads thus, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our text words speak of a loving exhortation to those who labor in the vineyard of Jesus Christ. With four thoughts, in the first place, the victorious office bearer. Secondly, the blessed unity. Thirdly, the weighty mandate. And fourthly, the divine encouragement. A loving exhortation to those who labor in the vineyard of Jesus Christ. The victorious office bearer, because we read in our text, therefore, the blessed unity, my beloved brethren, the weighty mandate, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And in the fourth place, the divine encouragement. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thus first, the victorious office bearer. Beloved congregation, when the Apostle Paul has written these solemn and encouraging words to the Church of Corinth, and especially to office bearers, then it is wider than a word to office bearers, because we all have a place in the congregation, in the church. Thus it includes fathers and mothers. That is where the instruction must begin. It includes school teachers. It includes young and old. And now our text begins with that word, therefore. To that end, there may be installation of office bearers in this morning, because when that word therefore comes to an end, that shall no longer be necessary, then it is no purpose to come up to God's house, shall not even be possible, because when the trumpet sounds, upon the clouds of heaven. And now the first word, the word therefore in our text, that refers what has went before. And then in this long chapter, then Paul is given to write to the church of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to that end, there shall also be a resurrection of all people. In verse 14, then Paul has written, if there was no resurrection, then we read, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. And thus this therefore that points to the great office bearer, the perfect office bearer, who has come upon this earth and has finished the work which his Father has given him to do. In the state of his humiliation, he was buried, and he was raised the third day. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. From thence he is gathering and defending and preserving his church. From thence he pours out those heavenly graces. And to that end there is a therefore. A therefore there is a church, and that shall continue till the trumpet sounds. And young and old, then it is the most important that by the free and sovereign grace of God that we are, that we become a living member of the living church with that living King. Thus finished the work in the state of his humiliation, and now in the state of his exaltation, he sits at that honorable place at the right hand of his Father. From thence he is gathering his church, all those that are written in the book of the Lamb. And he gathers that church by word and by spirit. And to that end, there is a therefore in our text that Christ has instituted the offices, but that therefore also refers to the great day of judgment. And before our text, then there is spoken of death. Thus that therefore, that is a therefore of a holy urgency, that the word needs to be proclaimed, but one step between us and death. Oh, when we read 2 Corinthians 5, then we read the urgency of the holy apostle, and then there was a beseeching in Christ that sinners may be reconciled with God. But now, in the former verses, then we read that death has been conquered, and also the grave, and that therefore especially refers to the thanksgiving. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that is possessor and owner, Jesus the Savior, who has come to save his people from their sins. And there are sinners that must and that shall be saved, O young and old, my fellow travelers to eternity. May the prayers be multiplied, that many may be added to that number. And how to be saved, that is through the threefold office of Christ. Our second thought, the blessed unity. Because then he has addressed the church, my beloved brethren and brothers, children, you can understand it, that means they are of one family, the same father, the same mother, a father in heaven, of course. When a child is born, a child does not know it. They receive knowledge of their mother and a great love for their mother, close to their mother, and that is a picture of the church. And then those brethren then by the grace of God, oh, the necessary unity in the midst of the church concerning the old truth, concerning the old ways. And I read in Proverbs 24, verse 21, not to meddle with those that are given to change. Thus those are brethren of one household. Oh, it is true. There is a diversity. Every child is different. Different characters. And that is also so in the church. Think of the disciples of Christ. There was that fiery and that zealous Peter. We need them. There was that loving John. Also need them. Was also a Thomas. Of course, unbelief is the greatest sin. But there was a great diversity among the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul has also written thereof in 1 Corinthians 12 of the body of Jesus Christ. A body has different members, an eye, an ear, an arm, a foot, and they all have a purpose, this diversity of gifts. And in the wisdom of the Lord, that is for the welfare of the church. Beloved brethren, that is a word of love. That is a word of reaching out. But then those brethren, then they need a guide. And that is the holy word of God. Thus saith the Lord, those brethren, the five solos of the Reformation, sola scriptura, that word sola, boys and girls, that means alone. Thus only the scripture. Thus saith the Lord, the end of all gainsaying, and then it is necessary, we need light, and that in honesty we are given to read the scriptures, not try to make them say what we like or desire, but what saith the Lord, and what else? All the scripture. Then in the second place, a sola gratia, beloved brethren, our brethren that have learned what it is to be saved by free and sovereign grace, those true brethren learned that if they had to add anything, even one sigh, it would be eternally lost. Ah, those brethren, they all learn what sinners they are. Those brethren are given to experience Romans 7. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Ah, those brethren are given to experience, those living brethren, because they have been made alive by the Spirit of God. They are given to experience that they can never deliver themselves. Ah, they are in that prison. But when they may experience what I read in Psalm 146, verse 7, the Lord looseth prisoners. Ah, then those brethren may tell those brethren that are still in prison, ah, be not so discouraged, because there is a mighty King. I read in Psalm 89, verse 19, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. He is able to deliver out of prison. The soul, beloved brethren, sola scriptura, sola gratia, oh, sola Christus, only one name, as I read in Acts 4, verse 12, under heaven, whereby we must be saved, and that is that precious name of Jesus, that name of Christ, that he has cried out on the cross, it is finished. Oh, sola gratia, by grace are ye saved. And then finally, those brethren, They have a desire that the king may be glorified. Does not mean they have not much trouble with that pride and with that self-honor. But when those brethren may be on the right place, then it is the desire that the king may be glorified. And I read in the book of Proverbs that in the multitude of subjects there is the king's glory. Are we now a subject of the king congregation? Have we now become a subject, even a little one? Because the smallest one in grace also belonged to that family. Boys and girls can understand it. Then when a baby boy or girl is born, then they never say that a child first has to be a little older to be part of the family. No, then they are part of the family. But now further, the weighty mandate, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. What does that imply? And what do those brethren experience? So insufficient. Oh, when they read of former generations, of the pillars in the church, what a light, what a zeal, and what a blessing. How they were given to sacrifice, and what do those brethren, what do they now experience? Oh, many times they are bruised reeds, a little wind, and they are given to shake. Even smoking flaxes, that those brethren are given to examine themselves how it is with their own hearts, because those brethren, they need to be administered continually out of the fullness of that eldest brother. But now the apostle, he addresses them different words. Be steadfast. And that concerns different matters. In the first place, concerning the doctrine, how the Lord saves his people, men of base to the lowest, and God glorified to the highest. Then in the second place, concerns the walk. As we read in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, concerning those old paths, where is the good path? And in Proverbs 22, verse 28, not to remove the ancient landmarks which our fathers have set. Alas, we live in a day which seems to be sin, for some have sinned no more. But they need to be steadfast. Also concerning the vision of the church, but not only steadfast, but also unmovable. A tree with roots, and when do the roots go deeper? When the winds of temptation and false doctrine blow, and when those brethren are given to search the scriptures, and when they are as a smoking flax, and when the king may speak kindly words, and to receive those further blessings, then they are given to stand unmovable, because they have experienced that there is no other truth and no other way to be saved, and to that end they may be soldiers. Paul has exhorted Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 3, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, thus unmovable for brethren, where sometime it seems like the waves of the ocean, but the apostle is given to exhort, and he does not mean that is clear in the word of God, not to be steadfast and unmovable in their own strength. We have the examples in the Bible. Think of Elijah under that juniper tree, Lord, take me away. I am not better than my fathers. Oh, Jonah, who was even fled from the presence of the Lord. Jeremiah, when he was smitten by Pashur in Jeremiah 20, then he has told the Lord, Lord, I shall speak no longer in thy name. But then that word was as a fire burning in his heart. And then Jeremiah began to proclaim what the Lord has placed in his mouth. Oh, unmovable, it is clear in the scriptures. No, not in their own strength. Do we not read of David in Psalm 30, when the Lord was good, when the Lord was near, then he thought that his mountain would stand strong, but thou hidest thyself, and I was troubled. Oh, think of that fiery Peter, where he has said unto his master, oh, it is true, because those brethren, they are bound with the love of the Lord in their heart together, and with an eye for his honor and for his glory. And then Peter has declared that he would never deny his master. And then before a maid, not with a sword, but with a question, whether he was one of those disciples, that he has denied it with a curse. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, when we read this text, is true encouragement. But then there are times that office bearers think that it is better that I lay down my office. Because when I read those solemn words, be steadfast, unmovable, that ever happened, office bearers, that you think it is better to lay down your office. Unmovable, always abounding, Paul has written to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, always abounding. Congregation, how is it now? Are you thinking about the brothers? It's the way it must be. That is what we desire. But how is it with you in the work of the Lord? We all have our place. And then maybe the children think that is for fathers and mothers, that is not for me. But we also have a place, especially older brothers.
that is also part of our religion. Our duties, we read in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. And in Romans 12, verse 11, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that work needs to be accompanied by much and unceasing prayer. Who was sufficient unto these things? Even Paul has written to the Corinthians, but also a prayer for the Lord's indispensable blessings upon those labors. And to that end, to encourage, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, then the church needs to be administered out of the fullness of Jesus Christ, that perfect office bearer. They need him as prophet, priest, and king. And now fourthly, the divine encouragement. For as much as ye know, we all know a congregation, but do we believe it? We know it, but do we believe it? Have there come up souls in this morning with even expectation, even to receive a kindly word? And as we read in Jeremiah 52, verse 34, every day a portion. Could also think of every Sabbath a portion. It's a blessed portion. When we may come up to God's house and to receive that portion from the Lord according to our needs and wants, but also concerning conversion. How was it in that respect? Do we believe that we can be converted? And that the Lord blesses his word to that end. That the Lord uses his word in God's house for the conversion of boys and girls, young people, middle-aged. What about the elderly ones? It has become late, but not too late. And the apostle was given to write to the church, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's the promise of the Lord, that he shall bless the labors for the ingathering, for the instruction, the edification, the comfort, and the correction of the church shall not be in vain. Read in Isaiah 55, verse 11, that it shall prosper to the end the thing that he sendeth it, and it shall be all to his honor and his glory.
and the saving of sinners, but also when you go lost. But it shall not be in vain. That means congregation. We can think so. That we remain the same. But under the means of grace, Paul has also written, a savor of life unto life, or a savor of death unto death. It shall not that your labor is not in vain. And then there is added in the Lord, not in our own strength, not our own thoughts, but it is a labor in the Lord, also with the help of the Lord. Thus a special promise upon the means of grace upon the first Lord's Day of this newly begun year. And then we do well, as that already taken place, when you hear those words. Have you turned the last portion of our text into a prayer? And that in your bench you have begged the Lord, Lord, may it now be for me. Concerning that labor, then we read in Psalm 126, verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. Psalter 348, the stanzas 2, 4, 5, and 6. We stand within thy sacred walls, O Zion, blessed for A, wherein the people of the Lord united homage pay. And what follows, 348, the stanzas 2, 4, 5, and 6. we shall now read the form for the installation of elders and deacons, which you can find on page 145 in the back of the Psalter. Beloved Christians, you know that we have several times published unto you the names of our brethren here present who were chosen to the office of elders and deacons in this church to the end that we might know whether any person had ought to allege why they should not be installed in their respective offices. And whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against them, we shall therefore at present, in the name of the Lord, proceed to their installation. But first, you who are to be installed, and all those who are here present shall attend to a short declaration from the Word of God concerning the institution and the office of elders and deacons. Of the elders is to be observed that the word elder or eldest, which is taken from the Old Testament, and signifieth a person who was placed in an honorable office of government over others, is applied to two sorts of persons who minister in the Church of Jesus Christ. For the apostle saith, the elders that rule well shall be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Hence it is evident that there were two sorts of elders in the apostolic church. The former were of that labor in the word and doctrine, and the latter did not. The first were the ministers of the word and pastors who preached the gospel and administered the sacraments, but the others who did not labor in the word and still did serve in the church bore a particular office, namely, they had the oversight of the church and ruled the same with the ministers of the word. For Paul in Romans 12, having spoken of the ministry of the word, and also of the office of distribution or deaconship, speaketh afterwards particularly of this office, saying, he that ruleth, let him do it with diligence. Likewise, in another place, he counts government among the gifts and offices which God hath instituted in the church. 1 Corinthians 12. Thus we see that these sorts of ministers are added to the others who preach the gospel to aid and assist them, as in the Old Testament the common Levites were to the priest in the service of the tabernacle in those things which they could not perform alone. Notwithstanding, the offices always remain distinct one from the other. Moreover, it is proper that such men should be joined to the ministers of the word in the government of the church to the end that thereby all tyranny and lording may be kept out of the church of God, which may sooner creep in when the government is placed in the hands of one alone or of a very few. And thus the ministers of the word, together with the elders, form a body or assembly being as a council of the church, representing the whole church, to which Christ alludes when he saith, tell the church, which can in no wise be understood of all and every member of the church in particular, but very properly of those who govern the church out of which they are chosen. Therefore, in the first place, the office of elders is, together with the ministers of the word, to take the oversight of the church, which is committed to them, and diligently to look whether everyone properly deports himself in his confession and conversation, to admonish those who behave themselves disorderly, and to prevent as much as possible the sacraments from being profaned, also to act according to the Christian discipline against the impenitent, and to receive the penitent again into the bosom of the church, as doth not only appear from the above-mentioned saying of Christ, but also from many other places of Holy Writ, as 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2, that these things are not alone entrusted to one or two persons, but to many who are ordained thereto. Secondly, since the apostle enjoineth that all things shall be done decently and in order amongst Christians, and that no other persons ought to serve in the church of Christ but those who were lawfully called according to the Christian ordinance, therefore it is also the duty of the elders to pay regard to it, and in all occurrences which relate to the welfare and good order of the church, to be assistant with her good counsel and advice to the ministers of the word, yea, also to serve all Christians with advice and consolation. Thirdly, it is also the duty particularly to have regard unto the doctrine and conversation of the ministers of the word, to the end that all things may be directed to the edification of the church, and that no strange doctrine be taught, according to that which we read in Acts 20, where the apostle exhorteth to watch diligently against the wolves which might come into the sheepfold of Christ, for the performance of which the elders are in duty bound diligently to search the word of God, and continually be meditating on the mysteries of faith. Concerning the deacons, of the origin and institution of their office, we may read in Acts 6, where we find that the apostles themselves did in the beginning serve the poor, at whose feet was brought the price of the things that were sold, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. But afterwards, when a murmuring arose because the widows of the Grecians were neglected in the daily ministrations, men were chosen by the advice of the apostles who should make the service of the poor their peculiar business, to the end that the apostles might continually give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And this has been continued from that time forward in the church, as appears from Romans 12, where the apostle, speaking of this office, saith, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, speaking of helps, he means those who are appointed in the church to help and assist the poor and indigent in time of need. From which passage we may easily gather what the deacon's office is, namely, that they in the first place collect and preserve with the greatest fidelity and diligence the alms and goods which are given to the poor, yea, to do their utmost endeavors, that many good means be procured for the relief of the poor. The second part of their office consists in distribution, wherein are not only required discretion and prudence to bestow the alms only on objects of charity, but also cheerfulness and simplicity to assist the poor with compassion and hearty affection, as the apostle requires, Romans 12 and 2 Corinthians 9. For which end it is very beneficial that they do not only administer relief to the poor and indigent with external gifts, but also with comfortable words from Scripture. We now ask the brothers to be installed, to arise. To the end, therefore, beloved brethren, and for Elder Mr. Heere Kurhost and Mr. Young van Garderen, and for deacons Mr. Hendrik Friedrich Wilhelm Oudshoorn and Mr. Young Hendrik Verduin, that everyone may hear that you are willing to take your respective offices upon you, ye shall answer to the following questions. And in the first place, I ask you, both elders and deacons, whether you do not feel in your hearts that ye are lawfully called of God's church, and consequently of God himself, to these your respective holy offices. Secondly, whether ye believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and to reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether ye promise agreeably to said doctrine faithfully, according to your ability, to discharge your respective offices as they are here described. Ye elders, in the government of the church, together with the ministers of the word, and ye deacons in the ministration to the poor, do ye also jointly promise to walk in all godliness and to submit yourselves in case ye should become remiss in your duty to the admonition of the church? What is your answer before the Lord and in the midst of this congregation? And then for Elder Mr. Heere Kurhost, yes, and Mr. Young van Garderen, yes, and for Deacon Mr. Hendrik Friedrich Wilhelm Oudshoorn, and Mr. Jan Hendrik Verduin. The Almighty God and Father replenish you all with His grace, that ye may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your respective offices. Amen. Brothers, in that benediction, there lies a rich instruction, comfort, and instruction, because who is sufficient unto these things? And Brother Deacon, that is not only in the beginning, can even be when we have served more years, that it even becomes more impossible. Not the worst place to be. And to that end, the need that we are begging and praying office bearers. And to that end, in that benediction, the Almighty God and Father. And when it speaks of Father, that is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. As brothers, we have an Almighty God for whom nothing is impossible, nothing too wonderful, and when it cannot from our side, then it can with the Lord. Oh, that Almighty God, when it pleaseth Him to bless the labors, then there is no heart too cold, too bold, too old. But that Almighty God, Almighty grace, and we have heard it, that the labor shall be blessed, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we be given to need, because we have heard of that therefore, that points to the Lord Jesus Christ, that perfect office bearer, to be administered out of His fullness, prophetical, priestly, and kingly. The Almighty God and Father replenish you. Means we need to be replenished each time by renewal. And to that end, it pleases the Lord to empty. Thus that speaks of a dependent life. That means we need heavenly income to be able to give out, to replenish some, says all. We all need to be replenished continually out of His fullness and replenish you all. It is included, of course, but it does not say His help, but it speaks of His grace to receive out of that fullness and to experience the wonderful things of free and sovereign grace. And when that may be experienced, and when our hearts may be enlarged, the souls bound upon our heart, then it shall not be so difficult. And then we shall experience the Lord's help. And then the instruction and the calling that ye may faithfully discharge your respective offices. All we have to learn. Unprofitable servants, but to be administered out of that faithful King, who never forsaketh the works of his hand. And we read, he who calleth you, he is faithful. He shall help in special ways and special times of need. And then for office bearers, we'll not make it too long, but then we have special instruction in Matthew 2, the verses 8 through 11. Then Herod has given that order, that command to the wise men to go and search diligently for the child. That is the command of the king to office bearers, that in the scriptures we are given to diligently search for the child, that we may tell the congregation what a wonderful and glorious child that is, that his name is Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins. And then for those wise men, it was a dark night. When it's dark for office bearers, then it's not so easy to be an office bearer. But the Lord was faithful. He's given that star. And that the Lord shall also grant to office bearers. And then we read that they have found the child, they have worshipped him. And when we may worship the King of Kings by the grace of God, then it goes the best. And then we may tell who that King is. Thus faithfully. And many times we are concerned, especially at the beginning, how it goes. Not wrong. But it is a blessing when we may be concerned about his honor. And fruitfully, farmers, how anxious they are about the seed that is sown. And to that end, to be fruitful, then we also need to be pruned. Faithfully and fruitfully discharge your respective offices. The Lord grant help from the sanctuary and strengthen out of Zion. Deacon Timon van Dijvere, your thoughts shall multiply. On behalf of the consistory and congregation, we may thank you for the 11 years you were given to serve as deacon with the gifts and the talents which the Lord has given unto you. There is a time and a place for everything. Everything comes to an end. Approximately 2 years after the Lord has taken your dear wife from your side, then you have received the place in the consistory, many evenings and many nights, that you were not in an empty home. But now with the laying down of your office, then you shall have many more evenings. Empty place, sorely felt. May it please the Lord to fill that emptiness with his own presence. The Lord remember you for body and soul as you continue your journey through this life. And then Elder John van den Broek, then you have been enabled with the Lord's help who served for 30 years, first in Lethbridge, and now since the institution of Pitcher Butte for many years, then the Lord still grants remarkable health and strength that you may still be enabled to serve in the church. The Lord remember you and your dear wife. And then at this moment, then on behalf of the consistory and congregation, then we wish to thank Mrs. Cora Vermanen, for the 15 years where she was enabled with the Lord's help to be an organist, to lead the congregational singing, but where it was her desire to step down. The Lord remember you together with your husband and family. The Lord grant his blessing, and may it please the Lord to grant unto our organist that there may be those times that by the grace of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, to be given to experience what they play, and also to be impressed upon their minds what an important place an organist has in the midst of the congregation. And that is not only to lead the congregational singing reverently, respectfully, but also before the church service begins, then how often it has happened that it has pleased the Lord to use the playing of the organ, of a solemn, of a psalter, and that souls have received comfort, and not only before, but also after the service. May the Lord bless the manifold labors. And now, congregation, then it is needful that there are Aaron's and hers, many of them, even among our little ones, because they are only men. They are not angels. Sinful men, insufficient to these things, that they may be carried upon the wings of prayer. And then in the form which we hope to finish reading, and in the prayer, then there is much instruction, because then the congregation is admonished to receive these men as servants of the Lord. They have received an office, and then further, to follow Christ for food for your souls. Then we need to ask for the Spirit, for that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And we have heard it, their labor shall not be in vain in the Lord. And then we hope to hear in the prayer that we shall ask the Lord that they may persevere in their faithful labor, because they can become weary. And I hope, congregation, because then we also read, and that you were not the cause. Oh, may God's word exert its blessed influence in the family circle, then there is asked in the prayer, that they never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. And then there is asked, O Lord, grant thy divine blessing upon this people. It's what we need, congregation. His blessing for body and for soul, and also willing to submit to their good exhortation. Let it not be so necessary. And that everyone acquitting themselves properly, and then the end. That is the purpose. That his name may be magnified and his kingdom enlarged. May that be experienced in a rich measure in the year of our Lord, 2024. And then the apostle, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then he has ended this epistle with these words: "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen." We now ask the congregation to arise and to sing for these brothers from Psalter 436, the three stanzas. "Praise, praise ye all the Lord of lords. All ye his servants, bless his name. Ye that at night his watch maintain, extol his services with fame." Psalter 436, the three stanzas standing. So remember the families of the consistory, their wives. We know we had two widowers. We still have a widower. But the Lord remembered the wives and the children where you spent many an evening without a husband and a father, the Lord grant his reward. Therefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church, which is committed to you, and the ministers of the word. Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution everyone against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. And ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same. Assist the oppressed, provide for the true widows and orphans, show liberality unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Be all with one accord faithful in your offices, and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Be in good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as the servants of God. Count to elders that rule well worthy of double honor. Give yourselves willingly to their inspection and government. Provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich. Give liberally and contribute willingly. And ye poor, be poor in spirit, and deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them, and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that is stolen, or who hath been burdensome to his neighbors, steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may give to him that needeth. Each of you, doing these things in your respective callings, shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord, saying, O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee that it hath pleased thee for the better edification of thy church to ordain in it, besides the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants by whom thy church may be preserved in peace and prosperity, and the indigent assisted, and that thou hast at present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony, and we hope, endowed with thy Spirit. We beseech thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that everyone may, in his respective office, acquit himself as is becoming the elders, and taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, and keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons, in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of the alms to the poor, and in comforting them with thy holy word, give grace both to the elders and deacons, that they may persevere in their faithful labor and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. Grant also especially thy divine grace to this people over whom they are placed, that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortation of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. Give also unto the rich liberal hearts towards the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts toward those who help and serve them, to the end that everyone acquitting himself of his duty, thy holy name may thereby be magnified, and the kingdom of thy Son Jesus Christ enlarged, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 358, the stanzas 3 and 4. Again refresh us, Lord, with thy reviving love, and be thy blessing poured in mercy from above. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. Due to the previously scheduled combined ladies' aid meeting, the midweek service for this week, Thursday, has been canceled, and the pall is at the exit. Psalter 358, the stanzas 3 and 4. pray, save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.